Proverbs chapter 11. We preached a whole sermon on verse 2, but we'll do the whole chapter tonight. And Proverbs 11, let's read it and let the Word of God just speak to you however it may. If maybe something will stand out, if nothing else, at least you can ponder that a gold ring and a pig snout is better than a woman without discretion or something like that. It's in this chapter, but Proverbs 11. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight, but the wicked falls by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and the wicked walks into it instead. With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Where there is no guidance, a people falls, but an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm, but he who hates striking hands in pledge is secure. A gracious woman gets honor, and violent men get riches. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. Those of crooked, twisted, or perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, the expectation of the wicked in wrath. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Verse 24, that is a good one to meditate upon. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. The people curse him who holds back grain, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. Whoever diligently seeks good seeks favor, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Whoever troubles his own household will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever captures souls is wise. If the righteous is repaid on earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? 31 verses, and out of those 31 verses, the word righteousness is used 16 times. It's upright, righteous, righteousness. They're all synonyms, same word, but I figure, again, like chapter 10, if it's used over half the time, maybe we should talk about righteousness. It was 14 times in chapter 10, 16 times in chapter 11. Let us ponder on righteousness one more time. I'm just going to say this, as far as righteousness goes, and we'll get into the subject tonight, but positional righteousness and practical righteousness. Just break it down to those two areas just to try to attempt to be clear. In Christ, as a Christian here tonight, if you're a believer, positionally, you are righteous. In Christ, we're clothed in His righteousness. We can say that we are saints. We are beloved. We are the elect of God. We are the children of God. we shall inherit eternity. We die, we stand before God, and we will be absolved of all things because all of our sins are forgiven because we're in Christ. And so we have His righteousness imputed to us. It's a grand subject. It's worthy of a whole night of preaching, if you will, but to contemplate that you are righteous in Christ, well, if you contemplate long enough, you should be quite overwhelmed that God in Christ would give you His righteousness, knowing your track record and your heart, to think that you're white and pure and clean and forgiven and accepted in the Beloved, and you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, it's just quite overwhelming if you would think on it for a little while. However, that does not negate the necessity of practical righteousness. And I submit to you tonight that we ought to at least attempt to live righteous lives. And there are things that accompany righteousness, as there are things that accompany wickedness. You rob stores and you do wrong things, there's things that come with that. But if you live righteously, there are things that come with that as well. And so all I can do is offer you the truth of God's Word and say, why don't you set your heart on being righteous? Just make it your goal in life to be righteous. Whatever it costs, whatever amount of time it may take, just seek to be a righteous person in the eyes of God. All right. Tonight, the central idea I'm drawing out, there are others that could be taken from such a long text, but I'm just taking out the central idea to be that there is an advantage to righteousness. There is an advantage for you as an individual, husband, wife, child, worker in this society. There is great advantage to being righteous. Okay? I propose to you tonight that if you live a life of righteousness, there are present and future benefits. Guaranteed. There are benefits right now to live righteously, and there are eternal benefits to come. But righteousness will be rewarded. And my purpose, you probably could figure it out, is to exhort you to be righteous. You know, I think of lots of things in the Bible, but I think it's good to develop a track record like Micaiah. I just don't want to talk to him because he always says the truth. I hate him. He always says the truth. Let that be known of you. Well, I'm not going to invite them. They always do what's right. He said, they're not going to be interested in this because they only want to do what's right. Hint, in the eyes of God. Make that. It's like we read it in Psalm 41. It's the longest word in the Bible, right? And there it was towards the end of the chapter, integrity. And it takes a whole life to build that word and to make that your reputation. Be a man of integrity. Be a woman of integrity. Be someone who lives, pursues, and obtains righteousness. All right, I broke these 16 down into three simple categories. I will not belabor you and keep you all night or wear you out with the scriptures. But there is protection in righteousness. There's protection in righteousness. Verse 3, verse 5, the integrity of the upright guides them. Verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless keeps his way straight. So in this first one, protection's righteousness. Righteousness is a guide. And I'm not going to unpack all of these verses. I'm just setting them before you. You can write them down. You can meditate upon them later. But I just want you to understand that righteousness is a guide. Integrity or righteousness is a most valuable guide in all perplexities. Now, you may not connect it to this verse, but I think if you think on it for a moment, it would make sense to you. Matthew 6:22, the eye is a lamp to the body. So if your eye is healthy, the eye's a lamp. If my eye is healthy, healthy meaning what? I see rightly. I see purely. I see through the lens of Scripture. If my eye is healthy, tomorrow at work in this situation, I will look through the eyes of the truth of Scripture to know how to respond to this. Okay, so if the eye is healthy, then your whole body would be full of light. It's a guide here. Or Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Walking right on level ground, if you will, making good time. There is advantage to walking on the path of righteousness, being guided by righteousness. 1 Peter 3:13 says, no harm comes to those who follow good. No harm. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? And I know you can say, well, yeah, but lots of things happen. I mean, James got killed. Peter got locked up. Look at Job. I mean, have you not read your Bible? A lot of bad things happen. Everything that happened to those men, and you can throw Joseph in as well, every one of those things that happened ended up for their good. It's the way it works. And so it's no harm, no final harm that can come to you if you would just walk on this narrow path seeking righteousness. So it's a guide. Secondly, righteousness delivers. Verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 6, the righteousness of the upright delivers them. Verse 8, the righteous is delivered from trouble. Verse 9, second part, not by knowledge the righteous are delivered. Verse 21, the second part, the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. So not only is righteousness a guide, righteousness is a deliverer. I was thinking about this, and I could do these several different ways, but think about some of these following biblical examples. Israel was delivered out of the Red Sea, but Pharaoh and company were drowned in the same spot. Mordecai was delivered from the gallows upon which Haman was hung. Hebrew boys were saved from the fire, but those who threw them in were consumed by the flames. Daniel was delivered from the lions, but those who set him up got thrown in and were devoured. Peter was snatched from Herod's prison, and Herod and the guards all ended up dead. Righteousness has a way of delivering. Now, I know righteous people die. No, righteous people get sick and die. But we go back to our memory verse, do we not? But be it known to you, O King, no matter what, we're not bowing down. Our God, whom we serve, will. He's able and He will. Whether it's through the fire, whether it's through this circumstance, whatever it is, we will be delivered. Ultimate deliverance, finally in the presence of God. Why? Righteousness delivers every time. And then we're going to switch angles. So righteousness is a guide for your life. Righteousness is a deliverance for your life. But this one's a little trickier, and we may not like it, but it is a good thing. But righteousness repays. But it may be not the payment you want. So in verse 31, jump to the end of the chapter, and it says, if the righteous is repaid on earth. Repaid on earth. What are the righteous being paid on earth? And then the second part of the verse kind of brings it out. How much more the wicked and the sinner? If the wicked and the sinner get justice on their lives, then surely the righteous also will get payment in this life. Where are we going with this? Well, let me jump over to Peter for just a moment. It may become clearer. If the righteous are scarcely saved, 1 Peter 4:18, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? The righteous is going to go through some difficulty on earth. They're going to scarcely make it through. But if they scarcely make it through, there's no hope of the wicked making it. Let's work a little bit farther. As a wise father, this was one of the Puritans, as a wise father, He will not indulge you in sin. I'm righteous in Christ, but if I live unrighteously, be assured God is not going to indulge you and let you muck it up in sin. He's going to do what? There's going to be a hand of discipline that's going to be paid to you because He loves you. As a holy God, He must show you that He hates sin. As a faithful God, He will make the chastisement of His rod the means of your restoration. So there's going to be a payment of the rod on your backside in sin because God loves His righteous children and won't allow you to just live it up in sin. He won't let you. There's discipline that comes. I invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 30. Psalm 89 and 30. You want to talk about eternal security? You want to know whether or not you're Christian? Here's a good passage. You say, I'm a child of God. Great. Then this is what you can expect. If His children, Proverbs 89, verse 30. Psalm 89, 30, sorry. If His children forsake my law and do not walk according to my rules. Pause. They're not being righteous. They're not walking in righteousness. If they violate my statutes and do not keep my commandments, hint, they're not in righteousness. This is what I'm going to do. Then I will punish their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Pause. God will make it tough on you if you forsake His will. However, it's different than the ungodly. Verse 33. But even though the rod is real, even though the rod hurts, even though we don't like it, verse 33 is still true. But I will not remove him from my steadfast love. I'll discipline you, but love will always be attached. I will not be false to my faithfulness. God will discipline you, but never remove his love. God will discipline you, but he will never stop being faithful to you. So the question then becomes right here. It's like, if I live in unrighteousness this week, will God get my attention? Will God deal with me? Think about it. Right now, there's a world of people living in unrighteousness, and just as my phrase tonight, they're just mucking it up. But I venture to say that if tomorrow I was to walk off into unrighteousness, it would not end up being a pleasant experience for me because God would not let it go. God would work me over in the tool shed until I understood that what I was doing was not pleasing unto Him. Why? Because He loves me. That's what He does with His righteous children. Verse 34, I will not violate my covenant. I'll not alter the word that went from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His offspring, praise be to God, shall endure forever. His throne as long as the sun before me, like the moon, it shall ever be established forever. A faithful witness to the skies, Selah. We are secure in God as believers in Christ, but on the path of unrighteousness, you are to expect the disciplining hand of God. We continue on with the same thought from one of the Puritans. But blessed be God, you need to know this, in all of that rod, discipline, making it hard on you, are you listening? The penal curse is removed. You can say punishment, you can say chastisement, you can say discipline, but for the believer, it is never penal. It's never final. You are not going to end up in hell. It's not that. You get an unrighteousness, I'm mad at you, I'm throwing you in hell. He does not treat the believer that way. It's never that way. We are recompensed, we're repaid on earth, not as we deserve to be in hell. That's what we deserve, but that's not what we get. Discipline, but not destruction. Nay, 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. See the difference? The world is condemned in their unrighteousness. The believer is never condemned by God. We may be punished here in a sense, but we're punished why? That we can be spared forever. What a blessing that God would bring the rod down hard on me. You think about Peter and how he was so disciplined by God. Why? That he'd be spared. Thankful. Recompensed on earth to be made fit for heaven. Hebrews 12:10. They disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good. Why? That we could share in his holiness. Well, that is protection of righteousness and now the praise of righteousness. Verse 10 and 11, it's a little difficult, but community influence. You have to watch Gunsmoke to understand verse 10, but I watch too much Gunsmoke, but Proverbs 11:10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there are shouts of gladness. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is overthrown. Although it can be distorted and not understood rightly, at the end of the day, people rejoice when righteousness rules. And you can sell it however you want to sell it. But I'm telling you, in these cities where there's no law and justice, and all this pilfering is going on in the city, and people are taking over houses and taking over properties, and all this pillaging is going on, and the law is not doing anything, I'm telling you, there's people that would be really happy if there was some type of sanity in their city, and it was safe, and they could walk down the street with their kids. They would be a lot happier if it was safe. And so somewhere there's an inward welling up in people right now, and they're very angry because wickedness is prevailing in their city or in their area. And if you don't understand that, you can go to these areas. There's areas like this all over our country. You can go to those in Mexico. They're all over where the cartel is in charge. And it's like, but you find a place where law and order and righteousness is at the top. You look in the Old Testament, and you see a righteous king, the land rejoices. It's a sense of rejoicing because righteousness is upon top. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Or take Mark 6:20, Herod feared John. Herod was godless, but he feared John. Why? Knowing what? He knew John was a righteous and a holy man. That guy is not like me. Now what? Now what did Herod, this ungodly, wicked man, fears this righteous and holy man, and what does the wicked man end up doing? Keeping John safe. Keeping John safe. And when he heard him speak, he was greatly perplexed. What does the text say? But yet he heard him gladly. I don't believe what you're saying. I'm not taking in what you're saying, but I'm glad you're saying it. It's a sense in which there's rejoicing there because righteousness is at the forefront. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, everybody groans. And now even in our society, people groan because of all of the evil. But when there is righteousness on the increase, there is rejoicing. We went through the book of Esther. This will not be a surprise to you. Mordecai went out of the presence of the king. At the end, he's wearing royal robes of blue and white. He's got this great golden crown in his head, this robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Susa did what? They shouted and rejoiced. They'd rather have Mordecai than Haman. This is what he's saying here in verses 10 and 11. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. Exalted. We pray what? We pray for godly leaders. We pray for righteousness. We pray in our own city, in our own area. Put people in place that make righteous rules, execute righteous laws. We want righteousness to permeate. That's what we pray. Whether it happens or not, that's what we want. And when it happens, we're happy. But when it's all wicked, we groan. Community influence. Righteousness has it. Then there's certain blessing. Verse 18 and 28, a certain blessing that comes with righteousness. Look at verse 18. The wicked earns deceptive wages. They never profit what they think they'll profit. But the one who sows in righteousness gets a sure reward. You get tired of me preaching. You just can't wait for the service to be over. Would you circle that section right there? Would you put your mark on it? Lock your eyes on it. Read it over and over. If you can't memorize one verse of Scripture, just memorize half a verse. One who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. Here is where I want to invest. Not the stock market. Not in some kind of retirement fund. Here, I'm going to stake my claim here. I'm going to sow what is righteous, and I'm guaranteed a sure reward. It's a good way to live. This is wisdom. And then in verse 28, whoever trusts in his riches, guaranteed, you're going to fall. But the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. It's a sure reward here. Blessing. Other verses. Hosea 10:12, sow for yourself righteousness. What are you going to reap? I'm going to spend the rest of my life. I'm 18, I'm 20, I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 60, I'm 70. I'm going to spend the rest of my life sowing righteousness. Then what is it that you're going to reap? Steadfast love. God's just going to love me and love me and love me, and I'm just going to keep sowing righteousness. What's righteous? The gospel's righteous. Truth is righteous. Christ is righteous. Holiness is righteous. I'm just going to keep sowing this in my marriage, in my family, in my church, in my community, and with my neighbor, and no matter what they do, I'm just going to keep sowing this same thing, and I'm going to keep reaping love. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brothers, here's my counsel the Apostle Paul gives you. Be steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing what? This type of work is not in vanity. And then one more, Galatians 6:7-8. Church, by the Word Baptist Church, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you get. That's what you get. For one sows to his own flesh, what are you going to reap? Corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit is going to reap what? Eternal life. Righteousness also leads to life. Proverbs 10:16, the wage of the righteous leads to life. Isaiah 3:10, tell the righteous, it will be well with you. Isaiah 3:10. Romans 2:7. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give you eternal life. Charles Bridges said it this way. Now the word ciphers, C-I-P-H-E-R-S, ciphers, synonyms would be zeros or nothings. Ciphers means zeros or nothings. Charles Bridges says it this way. If righteousness be your main end, God will be your best friend. And he will not, as the world has done, reward you with ciphers instead of gold. What a statement. If righteousness is your main end, God will make it our best friend. By the way, I love Psalm 19, one of my favorite chapters out of my 800 favorite chapters in the Bible. And you get over there, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, the testimonies of the Lord sure, making wise and simple. And you work down through there, and he says it's more precious than gold, and even more precious than fine gold, sweeter than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. And it's like, man, this word is so good. And then he says this, moreover, the righteous are warned here. Right? Psalm 19:11. Moreover, by them, by these things here in this book, your servant is warned. And in keeping them, great reward. Great reward. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Dear brother or sister tonight, delight yourself in the Lord. And guess what? He'll give you everything your heart desires. Everything your heart desires. If you would just delight in Him. Trust in Him and He will act. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. The whole world will see it. There is a righteous man. There is a righteous woman. I know them and they're not like other people. Isaiah 32:17, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. Peace with God, most prominently, peace with others as well. And the result of righteousness, here's the result. Here's a good test for whether or not you're pursuing righteousness in the right way. This is still Isaiah 32:17. The result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. You live in a world that's being inundated with drugs for depression and everything else in the world. And if we would just pursue righteousness, your soul or your spirit could be quiet and you could have all that you need and you could have trust in Him forever. Lastly, the permanence of righteousness, verse 19, verse 23, and verse 30. And so in 19, whoever is steadfast in righteousness, they will live. Verse 23. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. And then verse 30, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life. Bishop Reynolds, I don't know very well at all, but Bishop Reynolds says this, quote, desire is the wing of the soul, whereby it moveth and is carried to the thing which it loveth. Desire is the wing of the soul which moves us to that which we love. As the eagle to the carcass, in the scripture Proverbs, Job 39:30, Matthew 24:28, to feed itself upon it and be satisfied with it. The desire of the righteous ends only in good. Desire is the wing that takes us to our object and we feed upon it and are satisfied. Righteousness, at the heart of righteousness, we desire good. Desire's the wing that lifts us to our object. Church, you know the answer. Our object is Christ. I desire Christ. I love Christ. I want Christ. I want to imitate Christ. I want to be molded into the image of Christ, shaped by Christ. I want to look like Christ, talk like Christ, act like Christ. That's my desire, and my desire will take me to my object. I will live. In heaven, our desire will be fully unto the Lord without sin. And we will eternally be fed upon our own desire. Can you imagine? This whole world desires stuff every day. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whatever it all is, materialism, vehicles, houses, all this stuff they desire, and all of it comes to emptiness. But for the Christian who pursues righteousness, your desire will be eternally satisfied. Whereas those in hell, all those desires will be eternally negated, and they'll never accomplish the fulfillment of any desire, but the believer satisfied in righteousness for eternity. And also this fruit of the tree of life. The whole of the righteous man's life, his prayers, his teachings, his examples. A man who lives righteously is a tree of life, producing a fruit that is worthy of partaking. Tree of life is fruitful, one. Revelation 22:2, the very end of the Bible, in the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river, the tree of life is 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit every month, the leaves on the tree with the healing of the nations. Always fruit-bearing, never a dull moment in heaven. And then three verses out of Proverbs. I just take half of the verses just to make the point. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, Proverbs 10:31. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, Proverbs 10:32. Now I invite you to think about Jesus just for a moment and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, the very last word after Jesus preaches his sermon. And he gets done in Matthew 7, verse 28. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. He was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. You know what was going on? A righteous man was talking. In John 7:46, they went out to arrest him and they come back and they said, "Never a man spoke like this." I'm just saying that to you to say that if you are righteous and growing in righteous in your life as you mature, when you speak, you will have something to say. Fruit of the tree of life, and then the tree is nourishing. One verse, I give you just one. Revelation 2:7, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God." I'll give you two. Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed many." It's nourishing. Righteousness is a nourishment to souls. Look, when I'm in distress, when I'm in perplexity, when I'm confused, yes, surely I read my Bible. Yes, certainly I pray. But oh, the value of talking to a brother who's righteous, who would speak wisdom into my life. It's nourishing to my soul to have. I remember, if I go way back, I remember that day on the phone with Jeff Noblin, and he told me great and wonderful things I had never thought of because I hadn't walked down the road nowhere near the time Jeff Noblin had. And he spoke to me, I'm like, wow, my soul was nourished. And I thought that day, he must be a righteous man. He's not perfect, he's not sinless, but he is righteous, and he's walked with the Lord a long time, and he sowed into my life that day, and he kept me from quitting this church, I can tell you that. Saved my ministry in so many ways. I was done that day, but that brother spoke righteousness to me, did some healing and nourishing to my soul, and here we are some 15 years after that moment, and the tree is healing. Proverbs 12:18, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Last one, Proverbs 15:4. "The gentle tongue is a tree of life." In conclusion, I don't know how this came to be in my mind, but it makes sense to me at least. I don't know if it'll make sense for you tonight, but it makes sense to me as I think about righteousness. And there's this thing that stands out in Scripture to me tonight. It's the recording of the lives of faith in Hebrews 11. And these are the things that stand out to me, and this is the end of the sermon. First, it stands out to me that the people in Hebrews 11 that are not listed. I mean, I know the names that are there, but it just stands out to me all the names that are not there. And think about their lives and what they did in Scripture, but they're not recorded. But these that are recorded are very, very significant. That stands out to me. You know, I think about all the kings and the queens and the religious elite and the scoffers and the mockers and the prideful. They're not in Hebrews 11. They're not there. Second, it stands out to me that those who have the righteousness of Christ have a permanent place in glory. Thirdly, it stands out to me that the ones heaven values, the world is not worthy to have. And last, it stands out to me that those who are righteous by faith will receive something far better in the end. Yeah, I'm not complaining. I'm 56 years old. I still own no land and I still have no house. And I know if I'm fired today, I'll be homeless tomorrow in some sense. But you know what? I'm not losing nothing. I'm going to inherit, and I'm going to get a sure reward, and there's nothing lost for sowing a life in righteousness to the glory of God. And I encourage you, you can start tonight. You can start tonight. Dear God, I want to be a man or a woman of righteousness. I want to live in a way that if there was ever a recording of Hebrews 11, that you would write my name down, even if I'm a prostitute named Rahab, that I would be a person who's righteous in your eyes. I just want to be recorded there. It's all that matters. Let us pray tonight. Father in heaven, thank you so much for By the Word Baptist Church. Thank you for the encouragement they are to my soul. Thank you for the fellowship we have together. Thank you for the times we've laughed. Thank you for the times we've cried. Thank you for the times we've walked through difficulties. And even tomorrow as we walk through a funeral service with our brother David, we walk through hard times. We have times where we weep. We have times where we laugh. We have times where we rejoice. But Lord, just let us walk through it together as one family. Let us have communion as a family. Let us celebrate baptism as a family. Let us go through funerals as a family. Let us do weddings as a family. Let us walk this path of righteousness in this world for your glory, for our good, that the gospel may be made known to the nations. We pray these things tonight by your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.